Alaska's population of older people is the fastest growing in the nation. People who moved to the state during the boom in the 70s are staying here past retirement. Aging in Alaska can be both challenging and amazing. Today on Talk of Alaska, we'll speak with elders about meeting their changing needs, living independently as long as possible, and their important roles in the community. Stay with us.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Going without health insurance could be financially devastating. Healthcare bills are the leading cause of personal bankruptcy. Open enrollment for 2018 plans is November 1st through December 15th. A household of four with an annual income of less than $123,000 may qualify for federal tax credits to help cover premium costs. Get signed up for health insurance at healthcare.gov today. This message sponsored by the Alaska Division of Insurance.
From one end of Alaska to the other and everywhere in between, public media works to provide quality programming and statewide news you can count on and news you can trust. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or in the car, we're grateful to be a part of your day. Thank you for tuning in. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
This is Talk of Alaska. I'm Ann Hillman, and today we're talking about aging. My guests are Sally Robertson, who's in the studio with me here in Anchorage, and Marlene Johnson, who's joining us from the KTOO studio in Juneau. Thanks to both of you very much for being here.
Glad to be here.
And for all of our listeners, we're all growing older. So what's it like for you? What do you love? What do you hate? Let us know by calling 550-8422 in Anchorage or 1-800-478-8255 statewide. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org. So before we jump into the conversation about aging, most of the time when I introduce my guests, it's with some title and people are like, oh, well, they're going to be talking about X. I would love it if each of you could share just a little bit about yourselves or about your lives, just so people know who we're talking to. Sally.
Okay. I came to Alaska in 1950. I graduated from Anchorage High School in 1952. Got married here, went outside with my husband was in the Air Force. So we left here and went outside and we started our family. We came back here in 1959, and I have four wonderful children. I have six grandchildren, and I have probably about 12 or 13 great-grandchildren, and I love it here. I always come back. We go outside for a little while, but we've got to come back to home again.
Nice. And Marlene, could you share a little about yourself, please?
Yes, I'm Marlene Johnson, and I was born and raised in Hoonah, which is 40 miles due west of Juneau. And I went to elementary school there. The high school had closed. When I went to elementary school, we had a segregated system, and you had to be 100% Alaska Native to go to the government school. And I went to the territorial school, which had everybody else with any other mixed blood, and I was mixed blood. Oh. And I came to Juneau and went to high school here in Juneau because there was no high school in Hoonah at that time. Mm-hmm. And I'm married. We have six kids, 13 grandchildren, and seven great-grandchildren, and one on the way.
Oh, congratulations. When we were talking a little bit before we went live, both of you instantly identified yourselves as grandmothers and great-grandparents. I'd love to learn more about, like, how have your relationships changed, and what's your relationship with your grandkids been like versus with your great-grandkids? So often I hear there's like always the platitudes about how it's great being a grandmother. Is it also great being a great-grandmother?
Well, from my viewpoint, this is Marlene. From my viewpoint, it is great being a great-grandmother, but it's not the same. We had a good, fairly close relationship with all of our grandkids, particularly those that lived around us, and we still do.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special relationship with our youngest granddaughter who just turned 18, and she's very, very special to us. And I think we are to her. In fact, she called us last night. She's going to school at a boarding school in Hawaii, the Hawaii Preparatory Academy. And so she would have been by herself over the Thanksgiving holiday as far as family's concerned. So my husband, myself, we had to go over and spend Thanksgiving with her. It was necessary.
Of course.
But the great-grandkids, we love them. They love us. They're, of course, much younger, and they have a grandmother in between us and them. So there is a difference.
Oh, because there's a different, level of closeness, I suppose.
Yes.
Sally, have you found that too?
Oh, yes. Yes. There's a generation gap there. And with my grandkids, I used to babysit and all that stuff, you know. But then the grandkids come along and they don't need me. They go to their grandmother. And their grandmother is very special to them. And I think that's great because of the generation gap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, you know, technology has taken over a lot. We don't understand it. They do. So that gives us another gap. And it's sad, but it is life. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I wasn't lucky enough to have had a great-grandmother.
Neither was I.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Marlene, I've read your bio in various places, and you've served on so many different boards. You've led Sea Alaska. You've led Rural Cap. Are you still heavily involved with your community? And if so, in what ways?
Well, a little bit. I'm not as involved as I was. I decided it was time to move over and let the young people come in. But I'm the president chairman of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. So that takes a bit of my time. But I'm not on all the state boards or local boards that I used to serve on. I served on the state personnel board, the Public Employees Retirement System, several other boards for the state, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you still feel like you're well connected with your community in Juneau and in Huna?
Oh yes, yeah. I particularly in Huna. You go there. I will always be from Huna, no matter what, and I will always. We still have a home there, but I will always be welcome there. I am part of that community, and they are part of me. I'm part Tlingit, so I have my Tlingit ties,
mm-hmm.
and I'll always be a member of the Tlingit community of Huna, and particularly the Raven clan, the Duck Dainton
mm-hmm.
People. So that's just who I am and will always be.
Do you feel like people still provide you with a social network that you? I mean, you say you're always going to be part of the tribe. Do you feel like you're still part of the social fabric as well, and people turn to you?
Oh yeah, I don't know how you get away from that. I still have people calling me when they have an issue or a question of Sea Alaska. I haven't served on the Sea Alaska board in a long time. And I've sat on some advisory committees for them and such. But I have shareholders call me and ask me to solve an issue for them. And so I have to tell them where to go or, you know, I call someone and tell them what their issue is and have them get a hold of them. And so that just goes on. And, of course, I'm with the Heritage Foundation and our local tribe here, the Tlingit and Haida Community Council.
Mm-hmm.
I served on it for many, many years and was serving on it during the lobbying for land claims. And that's how I got so involved with working in D.C. and with the other Native groups of Alaska and working towards getting land claims solved.
Wow. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Talk of Alaska, and today we're talking about what it's like to age in Alaska. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're at 550-8422 in Anchorage, or 1-800-478-8255 statewide. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org. Sally, when I first met you over at the Anchorage Senior Activity Center, I walked in and a conversation started about how as an older person, you sometimes feel invisible. And this kind of launched this whole conversation amongst you and your compatriots. And Marlene's definitely seems to be saying that she's still such a vital part of this community. Do you feel like you're still a huge part of the community and people still turn to you?
Oh, yeah. Yes. When after my husband died, I was in loose ends, and then I felt like I was being ignored. I was just like the wallpaper, you know, pass it and just look at it and go on. And I wasn't asserting myself. I felt like I was alone. Then I went to the center, and I started volunteering at the center in the art department. And after that, things start changing, and I met people. They all had the same feelings. They were doing the same thing I was, trying to come up with this new life that we found ourselves in. Mm-hmm. And not being a burden on our children was the biggest thing that I can remember. We all wanted to be our own bosses and live on our own and all that. And I think that the senior center just brought it out in me. So now I spend probably... I spend 8 hours on Tuesday, and I do. I work on the Fur Rendezvous. That's my big event. We have the Fur Rendezvous art show. It takes a couple of months to get that ready to go. And I have another class called Evolved Thinking. We call it ET, you know, ET Call Home, where we discuss anything and everything, and it has to do with how our minds work. It's fascinating. And the center, it just offers so many things, you know. Membership is I think it's $75 a year. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
I don't know, but not much.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things you just said that I'd love to touch on a bit more. You said you worried about being a burden on your kids. Can you talk about that a bit more? Why were you worried about that? And then, Marlene, do you also wonder about that?
Okay, well, you just don't want to have them to take care of you. You know, you're at the age now, well, I was in my late 60s when my husband died, and I was going to go out on my own. I was going to get my own place, and my kids insisted, no, come and live with us because we need you. My daughter is fascinating when she works her little magic on me, you know. And if they need me, then I'm there. And she knew it. Mm-hmm. So we have this arrangement, and where I take care of their house and their dogs, and I take care of I share the house cleaning, the, you know, the laundry, all this other stuff, the cooking. She and I both love to cook. So we had to make a schedule up so that we each get our round of cooking in or baking, you know. And so, yeah, I just didn't want to be a burden. And I think that most people feel that way. Most of the older people that I've talked to always come back to the same thing, you know. And that's the biggest part. Being self-reliant is what I have to do. That's my pride and joy.
Uh-huh. Marlene, have you also thought about whether or not you'd be a burden on your kids or what that relationship looks like as you're older?
Well, I don't think we've really been a burden. We've probably put a little bit of pressure on them, but both my husband and I grew up with very slim pickings. Mm-hmm. And so as we started raising our family, we just, if you didn't have the money, you didn't buy, you did without. Mm-hmm. And we've had that philosophy, so we've done that. We've saved and all the time, and hopefully taught our kids a bit about doing that. Mm-hmm. And so we've done fairly well as far as being independent and been able to take care of ourselves and, in fact, help our kids whenever they needed help. And My husband's a Mr. Fix-It, so he fixes anything that breaks down. And we may take a little bit longer doing some things now that we're older, but we still do, and we enjoy that doing and being involved with the kids and the grandkids and helping them.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of dogs or kids or whatever,
uh-huh.
or fixing something. That's exactly. just what we do. Yeah.
Marlene, can I ask you a question? This is Sally. How do you feel about waste? Doesn't it get to you?
Oh, yes. Yes, very much so. We don't waste anything.
I know.
You know, it's we just never have, and it's almost like it's committing a sin when you do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. My backbone does curl when I see waste, and I see so much of it.
Like waste, yes. waste of what? Just like items or
everything.
Money? Or?
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. Food, for one thing.
Yep.
Yeah. I just see so many people, and even my own family members, I mean, they think nothing about throwing good food in the garbage because they don't want it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what do you do?
Oh, you go with it. I mean, it's their world. You can't tell them how to do it. You can only advise them, and
yeah.
that's all you can do.
So let's get to the subject of advice. Do you find that younger people are often asking you for advice? And if so, do you like it, or is it really annoying?
Depends on what the subject is, you know? I love giving advice.
Okay. On everything?
On just about everything, you know. I try and make them think I'm smarter than I really am. Trying to stay up with current things and all that stuff. And I'll sit there and nod, yeah, you know. And I have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to some of these music things that they have. You know, it's ridiculous to me. But, okay, that's their thing. I had my thing.
Okay.
You know, and it's generation things, you know. It changes from generation to generation. And so, yeah, it's different. But I've got the gift of gab, so.
Marlene, what about you? Do you feel like people are turning to advice to you for advice all the time? It sounds like on some issues,
yes, very much so. Not my kids as much as other people. I think my kids think they know as much as me, plus a little extra. But other people, and it depends on the subject, whether it be an issue that I've dealt with over the years and have been helping people with for, you know, 50 years, people still ask me. But not as much as used to, you know. So mm-hmm. we've got a lot of educated experts now. That
yeah.
was an unheard of thing in my day.
Really? What do you mean?
Most kids did not go beyond a bachelor's degree, period.
Mm-hmm.
That was, it was, you know, it was few. And my age group, of course, very, very few went on. But our kids went on, and almost all of them had to have at least a bachelor's or more.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
Well, I was just going to say that they are more educated than we were at that. We had to learn the hard way, this school of hard knocks.
But I mean, I guess from my perspective, that's just a different sort of knowledge and a different sort of education. Like, you've got a wisdom that comes from experience versus a wisdom that comes from books or from looking it up on our phones, as maybe we often do. So, I mean, do you all feel like you're valued for that still, or now you're just older people and so that doesn't?
Oh, I think I'm valued for what I've done. I think I get the respect of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
For what I've done over the years. You know, I mean, one of the things, like, I've got a honorary doctorate degree from the University of Alaska Southeast.
Cool.
I can't use that in my title. It just, it's not, you know, it doesn't feel like me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's others that have had it, like Dr. Sobolov. Mm-hmm. He had an honorary doctorate degree, and he was Dr. Sobolov. That's who he was. So there's a difference.
Yeah. And don't you see it, Marlene, that with the different cultures, like the natives, they used to be, I don't know how they are now because I haven't been that involved, but they used to be very respectful of their elders. And we were taught to respect our elders, but sometimes we didn't. We wouldn't get punished for it or anything. But now the respect is, they're losing the respect for the elders that they, you know, they used to have it, but they don't anymore. The age and the knowledge.
Within the Native community of Southeast, respect is the number one.
Exactly. Yeah.
The absolute, you carry respect for everything, everybody, your family, and it's just something that you're taught as a child. I didn't know what the word was, but I knew what it meant.
Yeah,
and
on
I
the
grew
backside,
up with
if you
it.
Didn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and to this day, still, the people, most all of the people, there's always somebody that doesn't, but most all of the people respect our culture, respect our people, our elders, respect your children, and teach them.
Exactly. We lived in Yakutat for about a year, and I had a very good friend. Her name was Marie, I can't remember now. It was on the tip of my tongue. See, that's another thing with aging.
Yes.
Let me explain that to you.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. My version of this, that we're old enough, you know, the mind is like a file cabinet. And then when we get older, it takes us a little while to go through the files to find the right file. Eventually, we will remember, but my file cabinet's kind of messed up right now.
So those of us who have really messy file cabinets already at a younger age?
Watch out.
I'll warn my family.
Okay, getting back to Minnie, yeah. Minnie Johnson. See, I told you I would remember.
Minnie Johnson in Yakutat.
I found the file.
Uh-huh. Oh, Minnie Johnson from Yakutat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, do you know her?
Who?
Marlene? Do you know her?
Yes. Yes.
Wasn't she fantastic?
Yes.
I mean, that
absolutely.
Woman could bead. Oh, my gosh. I used to sit and watch her by the hour and just be fascinated. You know, my kids were little and they'd want something. Hush, I'm watching Minnie now. Go away. But she was the one that I saw the respect. I mean, she demanded it and she never said a word.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. We had a number of elders that... We had an elderly lady that used to come to our house almost every single morning, around 7 o'clock-ish, and for a cup of coffee. And, you know, they didn't knock on the door. They were welcome. They just came in. And no one would have ever thought to say one word to her that was not respectful. Even though I used to think to myself, why does she come so early?
How old were you at that point?
Oh, I was I was probably in my, early teens
So to all of our listeners out there, are you looking for advice from elders? Are there people in your life that you remember seeking and seeing as a font of wisdom? Call us and let us know. Share your stories at 1-800-478-TALK. That's 1-800-478-8255. Or talk@alaskapublic.org. Okay, so...
One of the things that is, I think, changed in my mind over the years is that when I was young and you saw someone old, even though you respected them, treated them nice and everything... You didn't think they had the same thoughts or wants or wishes as you did. And I find as I get older, I still have the same thoughts and needs and wishes as I did when I was 30. And it just, to me, surprised me.
So what are some of your wants and needs and wishes?
Well, let's see, it's coming up on Christmas, so I got to kind of segregate this to make sure my husband hears exactly. But no, it's just, you know, where you'd like to go, what you'd like to do, you know.
So
who do you like to see? That kind of thing.
That hasn't changed, really?
It has not changed.
Definitely.
And that surprised me.
Huh.
And I don't know. I don't if it surprised you so or not, but.
Sally, did it surprise you?
No, I'm a little bit different. I guess I don't have any wants right now. I'm pretty well self-satisfied. I've done all the traveling I want to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Been everywhere I wanted to go. I have good friends. My kids are great. They're doing well. And so, actually, I have no complaints other than a few aches and pains, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that comes with age.
Yeah.
So, yes, sure does.
Yeah.
I was chatting about this show with a friend last night who's about my age, so like mid-30s, and she's like, yeah, find out like what lifestyle choices we should be making to stay healthy. She said she had spoken with a woman who was 109 who was like, well, I just never ate watermelon, and that's how she made it to 109.
Oh, that gives me an opening.
Well, go for it.
I told you I teach a class called ET, Evolved mm-hmm. Thinking.
Yeah.
And in what I'm trying to get people to understand is their mind is what gives them their health. I mean, if you think you can, well, then you're going to do it. I would say that people of Marlene's and my generation just give us a dare and we do it. I'll show you I can do it.
Well, like anything? If I'm like, yo, let's go skydiving?
Sure.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean that.
I have limits. I would not do that.
I wouldn't either.
Here again, you think. Now, uh-huh. Do you think you want to go skydiving? Do you think it would be safe? Follow what you think. Mulford Prentice came up with a good book, Thoughts Are Things. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a little book. It's hard to read because he wasn't very well educated back in the 1900s. But you look at life and you look at what you've thought about. Thoughts are things. If you want something long enough and hard enough, eventually you'll get it or get part of it. And so I think the mind is where you have to work with. And the body will wear out. Mm-hmm. But the mind doesn't. And I think they've already proven that plasticity of the mind can replace itself. Mm-hmm. You know, if one thought area doesn't work, it moves over into another part of the brain. And this has been proven. So watch what you're thinking about. Watch how your mind works. That's the most important thing to me.
Huh. Marlene, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree with, and I think that's, if you... There's some things I won't do or cannot do anymore. I'm not near as agile, or my balance isn't what it was when I was young, you know, and stuff. But there's still, if there's things that my kids or my grandkids want, or my friends or neighbors or people I work with or what have you, that they want to do or what have you, I do it. In fact, sometimes I overcommit myself
mm-hmm.
because I agreed to do so to so many things.
Mm-hmm. But I think that has to deal with common sense, too. Don't you think, Marlene? I mean,
absolutely.
We're smart enough to know that we can't go skydiving at our age, or we can't go skiing or any of this stuff. So there again, the mind is what's telling us
how. Right. But I can ride the zip line.
Yeah.
Sweet. And I've done that.
I'd like to invite a caller onto the program, Renee in Kodiak. Renee, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. First, I would just like to say that I'm going to be 61, and I'm so excited about that. And I have two wonderful sons, and I have wonderful grandkids. And I have a wonderful family that are so supportive to me. And that is something I have in common with these two lovely ladies that are speaking with you. You know, when you have a supportive family, you can do anything. And I really think it's one of the biggest problem in the whole world, not having a supportive family, the breakdown of the family unit. I truly believe that with all my heart.
Secondly, I agree.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know, I'm just agreeing with you.
Yeah. And secondly, you know, I am preparing to leave Alaska. I've been here for 34 years. And I have an exit plan for the next 2 years. And I'm leaving because my health is great. I'm restless. I have a good brain. And I just want to try other things. I just want to pack my bags. I'm selling everything. I'm down to a little cabin right now with not much stuff. And I just want to get out there. I don't have a plan. I've been a planner all my life, dependable Renee, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm so sick of that. I just want to pack my bag and go and see what happens.
Can I give
there
you some
so
advice?
Many ways. Go ahead, sorry.
Can I give you some advice? This is Sally. Two words. Go for it.
No, I'm gonna. You know, my family, when I told them, they kind of looked at me like, what? And I said, you guys will be fine. And I said, I can do this because I know if I fall flat on my face, and I might, you know, who knows, I could be, you know, in some foreign country on the side of a road, you know, with nothing. But I know I can call my family and they'll say, no problem, Grammy. Yep. Got you covered. Here's your ticket. Come on home.
Yep.
And, you know, that is so powerful. And I'm going to take advantage of that. There's so many different ways to be an older person mm-hmm. in the world now. So many different ways. And you're only limited, as these ladies have said, by your own brain. Because your brain is your wonderful resource. And it can also be your worst enemy when those weird thoughts come in. You just have to say, whoa, knock that off. Just knock it off. And fortunately, a lot of us are able to do that. Just say, knock it off. That's baloney. And move on. Not everybody is that fortunate. And I understand that. But anyway, I just wanted to say that, and thank you for this program.
Thanks for calling, Renee.
I have something to say on that one, too.
Go for it.
I was in my 50s when I decided I wanted to drive a semi-truck. So I married again, married a truck driver. We bought a truck, and I became a truck driver. And my mother was appalled. I mean, oh, my God, she said, I'm going to have to go around with a sack over my head because she couldn't understand how I could lower myself to be a truck driver. What an experience. Fascinating. All 48 states, Mexico, Canada, you know. And then after my husband died, I decided I'm not going to sit and just waste away. Go down to South America. Go to Mexico again. Mm-hmm. Go to Hawaii. Go over to Europe. I had never been to Europe. And so, yeah, get up and do something, you know? And so what if you have to hobble? That's okay. People will walk around you. Just go for it.
I agree. I think that you've got to stay somewhat busy. Mm-hmm. And whether it be doing little things, whether it be gardening or helping the neighbors or helping the community, you've got to do something to make yourself feel useful.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that when you do that, you know, nobody's going to follow the same line of thinking. I mean, you have to go where your brain tells you to go. If you're comfortable with it, by all means. If you're not comfortable, then find something else.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of Talk of Alaska, talking about aging.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. Older Persons Action Group publishes Senior Voice, Alaska's only statewide publication for seniors, and is an excellent source of information for families and caregivers. SeniorVoiceAlaska.com. This message sponsored by OPAG.
ACPE's Education Loan Refinance can save you money and give you just one bill for all your private, state, and federal loans. The Alaska Refinance Loan offers Alaska residents a 4.95% interest rate with no fees. You choose between a 5, 10, or 15-year plan. Go to acpe.alaska.gov/radio or call 1-800-441-2962. This message sponsored by Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Today I'm here with Sally Robertson and with Marlene Johnson, and we're talking about what it's like to age in Alaska and what it's like to just age in general. We'd love to have you join the conversation. Tell us what it's like for you. What are your plans as you get older? What do you want to know as you get older? 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. Or here in Anchorage, 550-8422. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org. So our last caller, Renee, was talking all about these amazing plans she has now that she's in her 60s. I feel like every time I talk about aging with my friends, and I'm in my late 30s at this point, I feel like the conversation always turns to, oh, well, are you putting away enough money, or like making practical decisions? Is that what we should be thinking about?
Depends. You know, I saved a little bit, had a little savings put back, and it was just my fun thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know that I really saved for it. I just wanted it. Mm-hmm. And I worked towards getting it, just like I have everything else in my life. I think it just depends on what you want.
And I think it's a good advice for everybody to save a little bit so that you're not dependent on someone else when something happens. Yeah. We saved all of our lives, both my family and then my husband, myself. We saved till we got enough money to buy a car.
Yep.
I never thought about going I guess I thought about it, but decided we didn't want to go buy it and make payments on it and pay all that interest.
Yeah.
So we just save until we do. Yeah.
I think the difference between the generations is our generation didn't want debt.
Mm. Absolutely.
No debt. You had to make your own way.
Yeah.
You know, before I came to Alaska, I grew up on a farm. And, times were tough, but we had the best.
Absolutely.
Because we had our own meat. We had our own, you know, everything was there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you learn how to save and you learn how to do for yourself. So you don't need as much as this generation does, material stuff. We can do without, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could still talk on the old rotor phone. You know, it doesn't bother me. I bought my first brand new car 2 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
What made you make that decision?
Well, the other one gave out on me. Mm. It was a 93 Oldsmobile.
Uh-huh.
And I kept saying, well, these dumb drivers that we have around here that think they can speed in a 35-mile zone, you know, that when they hit me, they're going to know they hit me because it won't hurt me because I was made of steel. My car was. Well, I am too.
Yeah.
And that's
very true.
Yeah. You know, and if you save for things, it means that much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see my grandkids, oh, get rid of it. It doesn't work anymore. It's got a crack in it. You know, their iPad
or
something.
They don't repair anything.
Yeah. But God forbid that they should wear the same clothes and year after year. No way. You know, and this is the thing we've learned. And I think that is very special for our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when we saved our money and my husband's family lived in Oregon and we went down there to buy a car and visit them. And we were looking for a car and trying several. And we tried driving this one Jeep and It was a nice Jeep. We took it back and told them we'd think about it. Mm-hmm. We started leaving there going, and our daughter was very young at the time, and she started crying and said she liked that car. You know, she wanted it. I like that car. So her dad turned around and went back and bought the car.
Oh.
The decision was made. But, you know, we were going to buy a car, but you never made hasty decisions. You thought about it.
Mm-hmm. So, I'd like to invite Posey from Anchorage to the call. Posey, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, thank you. I'm so glad to you're taking my call and you're having this topic. It's an exciting topic, I think.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you could join us.
Good. What I wanted to share is, in my experience, there's quite a few older people who never learned how to read. And we, you know, when you talked about, one of you guys talked about how the brain changes and you're still, you know, you still have some plasticity as we age. The one thing that is huge with reading is it changes your brain. And what I wanted to share is for the first time, we have a tool, an online tool that is teaching people to read no matter how old you might be. And I know that, you know, when you think of grandparents who can't or avoid reading to their grandchildren, you know, it can be very painful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just excited to share that there's no reason that if you can't read as a grandparent, you can learn.
What's the online tool?
Well, and I don't have any connection to this,
okay,
any of these companies or any of these tools at all. So that's a disclaimer.
Uh-huh.
But there's two tools that I recommend all the time, and one is called Mind Play, and it's a pretty serious program. It's wonderful, and it's the cheapest thing in the world. I mean, it's amazing. It's like about $300 for 24/7 access for a year.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's phenomenal,
mm-hmm,
compared to like going to a class,
yeah,
or a tutor. And then the other one that is much more gamey, you know,
mm-hmm,
people who like the computer games.
Yeah.
It's called Nessie, and it's the same sort of pricing. And what's wonderful about Nessie is you could do it with your grandkids.
Oh.
Because your little grandkids would love the program.
Cool.
And what's been really fun is we've got some research out there where they did the functional MRIs looking at pre-intervention and post-intervention in older people. And, you know, mm-hmm, we taught some people who had never learned how to read, we taught them how to read. And, you know, the brain definitely changed.
Wow.
And as they became readers. So I just, you know, it just hurts when I think about, you know, if I never learned to read, what I would be missing out on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're older and you have time, it's only taking about 120 hours to get people reading.
Wow.
So pretty exciting to me.
Sally, are there things that you're doing to keep learning as an older adult?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I have approximately 50 books on my Kindle that I run back and forth for evolved thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from anywhere from religion on to science, everything. And the people that are in my class, we have somewhere around between 6 and 13, depending, mm-hmm, on, you know, the weather and all that kind of stuff. We get into some really difficult topics, you know, and it just keeps us going. Somebody has a question. Well, I can't have the answer. I don't have the answer, so I go to my books.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always looking for new material. Dr. Joe Dispenza is one of the best as far as mind control that I have ever read.
Oh.
And if anybody has a chance to read any of his stuff, and his first one, I think, was You Are a Placebo. And so, yeah, it's fascinating what the mind can make you do.
Mm-hmm.
I beat cancer.
And I'm glad to say I did it with my mind and with my body, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But your mind has to tell your body what to do. And I think that every cancer survivor that I've talked to has that same outlook. So if it beats cancer, what can't you do?
Mm-hmm. Marlene, what about you?
Well, I think learning is an ongoing thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I learn something new every day, whether it be from my family or friends or a formal setting of some sort or one of the organizations I belong to. That's like I'm scheduled to go to Indian Child Welfare witness expert training.
Oh.
The end of this week so I can help the children and the state and the tribe in placing kids that are into difficult situations, whether it be home or
mm-hmm.
foster care or adoption, whatever, you know. I've always worked with kids and I love working with them and I do whatever I can to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to a number of trainings and meetings and discussions, presentations, just to learn. And not that I'm going to do much with it, but I'm going to know it.
Well, you never know. You might.
I might, yes.
Yeah, especially with ICWA training. We are going to take a quick break, and then we will be back with more calls on Talk of Alaska.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Open enrollment for the health insurance marketplace in Alaska is now through Friday, December 15th. Enrollment assistance is available and it's free. Visit getcoveredalaska.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Children's Trust.
Opioids are common prescription pain relievers and must be used properly to avoid danger. Common opioids include hydrocodone, oxycodone, morphine, fentanyl, and codeine. Safely getting rid of unused opioid medication prevents children and pets from accidental poisoning and protects the environment. Information about safe opioid storage and proper disposal is at opioids.alaska.gov. This message is sponsored by the State of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Today we're talking about aging. And we have Sumner on the line from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and yourself?
I'm well, and I've so enjoyed listening to your guests and mm-hmm. some of the people calling in, speaking about, you know, where they are in their lives. And,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I might share a kind of different situation.
Please.
That I'm about to go into, and that is that I'm 63, I'm a writer, I'm a former public radio reporter, and I did a couple of documentaries for National Public Radio and mm-hmm. was a journalist way back when. And I'm still writing, and I have we all seem to be blessed with these amazing sons. I have a wonderful 25-year-old son mm-hmm. and his wife and a 3-year-old granddaughter, and they have invited me to come live with them, not because I'm disabled in any way, but because we wanted to have a more integrated actual household. I mean, I see them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at this going in. I'm very independent and, you know, intend to fully respect their privacy, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. One of the things I'm excited about, though, is that I will have a chance to spend much more time on a consistent basis with my granddaughter, Leah, who, of course, is absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring to her some things that I don't see going on in her life right now, things that are kind of the things that have always sustained me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And these include reading, a lot of reading, unplugging all mm-hmm. the electronics, listening to classical music, just having some, you know, teaching her to meditate, for instance. I think I'm going to embark on that next year.
By all means, do that. Meditating is the best thing in the world.
Isn't it fabulous?
Yes.
It really, really is. And somewhere I read that if every 8-year-old in the world learned to meditate by the time they were 8, the world, their generation, would find a much improved world. And
oh, okay.
I honestly believe that. But anyway, one place to start is with my granddaughter. And all of this will be worked in gradually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to throw anything at her. But, you know, she's very tied into electronics already at the age of 3, which I find, you know, I mean, she's going to grow up with that world. But I want to have books in her hand and great stories. And I'm also an artist, so we can paint together. And I think what's great about my situation is that there's a real appreciation on the part of my son and daughter-in-law for my perspective on life.
Hmm.
I see it quite differently in some ways than they do. And they're very appreciative of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm very, very fortunate, and hopefully it will all work out well.
Yeah. Sally, you've integrated into the home of your daughter.
It works out great. It works. It's fabulous. I mean, you've got each other there boosting each other. You're there to help. You know, if they want to go on vacation, they can leave the house, you know, and I'm very independent. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. They work around me, I work around them, and it's turned out great. So, yeah, by all means, try it. And get going on the meditation with that little 3-year-old. Work on it. I have a quote from Buddha. Okay, what we think is what we become. And you do that with meditation.
All right. Sumner, thanks so much for your call, and good luck moving in. I'd like to invite Jeff from Anchor Point into the conversation. Jeff.
Yeah, good morning, Ann and Sally and Marlene.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
And, it was just some general things you already touched on. It was which I tend to preach is old is a state of mind.
Exactly.
You can't do anything about getting older, but surely you can to keep your mind from getting old, you need to, you know, realistic goals. It's like, I don't have time to die.
Like, exactly.
I'm 70. I don't even like to talk about this. I'm 73, but I'm still kind of part-time logging. Doing all many things. Hope to live long enough to finish this house. Shop apartment I started, I kind of gave too much time away volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's it. Yeah. Well, I was wondering if I could ask Marlene a question. I used
Please.
To be a school teacher up in Fort Yukon. I met this guy. He was a Clinkett from Hoonah. He just tried to contact him. I don't know, we were pretty tight buddies up there, but it was, you know, been years. Mm-hmm. I just wondered if she knew if Richard McKinley was still amongst us.
Yes, I knew Richard very, very well. He was a year, I think 1 year older than me. He was a school teacher. He did very well. He taught in Hoonah. I served on the school board in Hoonah for 26 years, and it was a real pleasure to hire him a Clinkett. And we had several Clinkets that came back and taught in Hoonah, but Richard was there. When he passed away, I felt very, very bad. His brother Alfred passed away too. He's gone. His father was a distant relative of mine.
Oh, oh man, it's like, kind of, you know, trying to prepare for that. So obviously sorry to hear about it. And he was, a good man. He was fourth grade teacher up there, and he taught in all various places. That was my first year in Alaska. Anyway, as you know, you just kind of get used to people moving on.
Yeah, he was a very quiet man, naturally, all the time, even growing up. Mm-hmm. But he was very sharp, and he was very good, and he loved kids.
Yeah, Rich, oh, man, sorry about that. I'll get off here so somebody else can get on here. And thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for thinking about him.
Thank you for calling, Jeff. Good. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear of your grief.
Yeah, I've never stopped thinking about it. He was just really a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
Anyway, thanks, ladies. Thank you. And remember, I don't have to remind you two. Forget about that old stuff.
And you're very young. I want you to know that. I was in my late 60s when I accepted a job with the state of Alaska as a commissioner at the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission.
Wow.
And served 8 years. So, you're not too old.
You're never too old.
Never.
Yeah.
No.
Well, one of my goals is on my 100th birthday to fall out of a tree, topping a tree and break my neck.
There you go.
good to have an exit strategy.
I hope I can follow my father's side of the family. He lived to be 104 and 11 months.
Wow.
Wow.
But Jeff, I guess, inadvertently brought up an important topic. As you age, your friends and your family start to pass. How do you cope with that?
You just have to get thick skin and realize this is life. Death is part of life.
Yep.
I mean, does it make you more accepting of your own mortality?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
It makes you appreciate what you've got and to love your family and your kids and your grandkids and do it now and let them know you love now while you're still here.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the way I feel, too.
Yeah. Have there been things you've done or traditions that have helped you through the grieving process?
In the Tlingit world, when someone dies, the opposite side takes over, comes and helps you and helps you all the way through this. And it really makes a difference in being able to accept the loss. I come from a large family. There was 13 of us kids. There's only two left. So I've gone through a lot of this grieving stuff and my friends and families. And so appreciate what you have today because it's temporary.
And on that note, we need to close the show. Thank you both very much for being here. This has been Talk of Alaska with Sally Robertson and Marlene Johnson. Have a great day.
Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. The law firm of Landy Bennett Blumstein. Attorneys who know the people, businesses, tribes, and communities of Alaska. Landy Bennett Blumstein, online at lbblawyers.com.
The University of Alaska's founders knew that to build a great state, we would need a great university. Today, UA offers more than 400 degrees and certificates with campuses from Kotzebue to Ketchikan. They are leaders in Arctic and Alaska research and dedicated to direct hands-on teaching, whether online, in the classroom, or in the field. Greatness awaits you. See how the University of Alaska can help you achieve at alaska.edu/start here. This message sponsored by the University of Alaska.
If you would like to play an integral part in what you're listening to, public media is designed for and made possible by the communities it serves. If you are already a member or corporate sponsor, thank you. If you'd like to learn more about how to become a member or sponsor, it's easy. Start with a call to your public radio station. This program is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400. This is Alaska Public Media.